Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Margaret Paul, and I'm pleased to be with you this evening to talk about emotional dependency or emotional responsibility. I think this is a fairly big topic, which most people really don't understand too well. You know, there's a vast difference between being emotionally dependent and actually taking emotional responsibility. And so in this webinar, I'm going to discuss how one takes emotional responsibility and how this actually releases you from the pain of emotional dependency, which can be a very, very painful way to live. And about halfway through the seminar, I'm going to just talk a few minutes about what we offer to support you, but you don't have to buy anything to get great value out of your class this evening. So let's talk about what is emotional dependency. And most of us learn to be emotionally dependent. Emotional dependency is when we are, when we're reliant on other people for our feelings, that we're dependent on others for our sense of self. We're dependent on others to let us know we're okay, for our sense of worth, for our sense of lovability, for our sense of safety, that that we depend on others to make us feel like we're okay as human beings. And most of us did learn to be emotionally dependent as we were growing up for a number of reasons. One is that most of our parents were emotionally dependent. If you think about your parents for a moment, did either of them or your caregivers really know how to take responsibility for their feelings, how to make themselves feel safe, feel worthy, feel lovable? Did they ever role model that for you, showing you how one goes about taking emotional responsibility? And so for most of us, we never saw anybody taking emotional responsibility. We saw them trying to control each other and others into making them feel like they're okay. You know, the old thing about what will the Jones think? Like other people's opinion matters. Other people's opinion defines our sense of worth. And if other people don't like us or judge us, then we're not okay. And so most of us grew up believing that. And that is what emotional dependency is. We're dependent on others to feel okay. And there's many, many false beliefs that we concluded that make us emotionally dependent. For most of us, we grew up in families where we were not seen for who we really are. My parents, for example, they had no idea who they were. They didn't know that they had this beautiful divine essence inside of them, and so they couldn't see that beautiful divine essence inside of me. So when we grow up with parents that don't know themselves and they're operating out of their own false beliefs about there being something wrong with them, then they project that onto us and they believe there's something wrong with us. And then, of course, we absorb that, believing that there is something wrong with us and that the only way we can feel okay is when other people value us, when other people give us attention, other people give us praise, give us approval, want to spend time with us, then, you know, in our minds, that says, okay, I'm okay. But on the other hand, you know, if somebody disapproves of you or doesn't want to spend time with you or judges you, criticizes you, then, of course, most people have learned to think that means that I'm not okay. One of the other false beliefs behind emotional dependency is that somebody else's love, somebody else's approval or attention is what really makes us feel good. Like, that's the best thing in the world. That's what makes us feel really great. That if we have to give that approval or validation to ourselves, that's second best, but that's not nearly as good as what we can get from somebody else. And that is a huge, huge false belief that keeps many, many people emotionally dependent, because they think that other people's approval, love, attention is the cake rather than the icing on the cake. And what so many people don't get is that if your value is dependent on somebody else valuing you or loving you, that's a very scary way to live. Because what if they go away? What if they die? What if they leave? What if they get angry? What if they get critical? Suddenly, you're not safe and you're not okay. And that's the problem with being emotionally dependent. So let's talk for a few minutes about what is emotional responsibility, which is completely different than emotional dependency. First of all, I want to talk about the fact that there's two kinds of feelings. Being emotionally responsible means that we're taking responsibility for our own feelings. And there are two definitive kinds of feelings. And in the inner bonding process, we call these the wounded feelings and the core feelings. And the wounded feelings are feelings that we create. We're responsible for creating our anxiety, our depression, our guilt, our shame, our anger. These feelings are created by what we tell ourselves, by our belief system, by how we treat ourselves. You know, if we tell ourselves that we're not good enough and we ignore our own feelings, we're going to feel alone, we're going to feel anxious, we're going to feel depressed, we're going to feel angry. And then we tend to project that out, thinking that it's other people that are judging and criticizing us, and so we should be angry at them, or we should give ourselves up to them to try and get their approval. So the one category of feelings are the wounded feelings that we create with our own thoughts and our own actions towards ourselves. The other kinds of feelings are what we call the core feelings. And these are the feelings of life. And they're the core painful feelings are feelings such as loneliness and heartache and heartbreak and grief and helplessness over other people. These are really, really difficult feelings to feel and pretty impossible to feel as we're little when we're growing up. And so we learn to cover over these feelings, to not feel these core feelings. And a big area of emotional responsibility is learning how to take care of the core feelings and how to learn from our wounded feelings. So taking emotional responsibility means that you're willing to stay tuned into your own body. Instead of numbing out with food or drugs or alcohol or TV or staying up in your head or judging yourself, criticizing yourself, or making others responsible, that you're willing to stay present inside your body with your feelings, and that you're willing to learn from your feelings. So that, let's say I tune into my body and I feel some anxiety. Well, I know that anxiety means, that's my inner guidance system. My inner guidance system speaks to me through my feelings. And I know that anxiety means that there's something that I'm telling myself or some way that I'm treating myself that is not loving to me. It's not on track. I'm telling myself a lie. I'm treating myself in some way that's not loving to me. And that's what the anxiety is telling me. So if I tune in and I feel some anxiety and I'm going to take emotional responsibility, I'm going to say, well, what am I telling myself? How am I treating myself? What lies am I telling myself that's causing this feeling? So I'm going to move into an intention to learn about what I'm saying, how I'm treating myself that's causing this feeling. I'm also going to stay tuned in to my heart. How is my heart feeling? Is it feeling heavy? Is it, am I feeling lonely? Am I feeling some heartache? These feelings are telling me about things that are happening externally. So let's say I'm talking to somebody, and I get this kind of heavy feeling in my heart. People feel this differently, a burning feeling in my heart, and I recognize that feeling as loneliness. Well, what that's telling me is that it's a very good possibility that this person that I'm talking to is disconnected, that they're in their head, that they're judgmental, but in some way they're disconnected. They're not connecting to me. And so my loneliness is giving me very important information. Or if I feel some heartache when I'm with this person, that's giving me information that may be telling me this person is really abandoning themselves. And they're trying to make me responsible for them. And my heartache is telling me this, that, you know, maybe I need to ask them a question about what they're needing, or maybe I need to disengage from this person for a while. But all of these feelings are giving me information. And so emotional responsibility means that I want the information that all of my feelings are giving me. I want to take responsibility for learning from them. I want to learn to manage them, even the deeply painful ones of grief and sorrow and heartbreak. I want the responsibility of managing those feelings in a way that makes me feel loved and safe inside. And that's basically what people learn when they practice the inner bonding process. They learn how to learn from their feelings. They learn how to manage their feelings. And, it's a little bit different in terms of the wounded feelings, because here we're asking, what am I doing? What am I thinking about? And with the core feelings, we're asking, what's happening externally that I need to attend to? What's happening in a situation? What's happening with this other person? But in both cases, we're open to learning. We want to know, and we want responsibility for taking loving care of ourselves. That's what it means to be emotionally responsible. Now, taking emotional responsibility or being emotionally dependent has a huge effect on relationships. Most relationships are struggling with a caretaker-taker system, which is one person is trying to get the other person to take responsibility for them. The other person might be trying to do it and ignoring their own feelings in the hopes that at some point the other will take responsibility for them, or one person is pulling and the other is resisting, or they're both angry. But underneath it, what these people want is connection. But the problem is they're not connecting to themselves. They're not taking responsibility for their feelings. They want to connect with the other person because connection feels great, but they also want that person to be taking emotional responsibility for them. That is one of the major reasons why relationships don't work, is that we expect the other person to make us happy and make us feel whole and complete us and make us feel worthy and make us feel safe. And they can't do it. I mean, they can be loving, but if you're ignoring your feelings and you're judging yourself and you're turning to addictions, no matter how loving somebody else is, you're going to feel lousy inside because you're abandoning yourself. And nobody can do anything about that. That's completely up to you. So when you learn to take emotional responsibility, that is major in terms of healing relationships. It's major in terms of healing fears of rejection and fears of engulfment. These are two major fears that many people have in relationships. They're afraid of losing themselves in a relationship and being dominated by somebody. They're afraid of being rejected by somebody, losing somebody, loss of self, loss of other. And these fears keep people from really being open, having their hearts open so that they can connect with each other and share love with each other. When you learn to take emotional responsibility and stop abandoning yourself, then you stop taking rejection personally, because Now you're taking responsibility for defining your own worth. You don't take it personally when somebody else is rejecting or somebody else is criticizing. Now, that doesn't mean it feels good, and you know, it may hurt your heart, and taking emotional responsibility means that you're going to take care of that. You're going to embrace that with compassion, with caring, with kindness towards yourself. That's a big part of taking emotional responsibility. And the same thing with the fear of engulfment. When you're truly taking loving care of yourself and you learn how to take care of your feelings, you're not vulnerable to other people controlling you. You're not vulnerable to being swallowed up and smothered by other people, because you have a deep sense of self. When you take emotional responsibility, you have a deep sense of who you are, of your value, your worth. You're not going to allow somebody else to swallow you up, nor are you going to take rejection personally. You don't have a tendency to make another person your dependable source of love, you see. As soon as you make somebody your dependable source of love, then you've got to try and control that person, and that's what creates a big problem in relationships. When you learn to turn to your own dependable source of love, which is a source of spiritual love, which we teach people in inner bonding how to access that love and bring that love down inside, so that there's always a dependable source of love for you. And you don't have to rely on somebody else for your dependable source of love. You don't make somebody else your higher power. You learn to turn to your own source, your own higher power, for the love and for the definition of yourself. And what happens when you do that is that you never end up feeling alone. You know you're not alone. You know that you're being guided all the time with love, with wisdom, and that's a major benefit of opening to learning about taking responsibility for your own feelings. So I think this is a very, very big issue for most people. In our culture, few people learn to take responsibility for their own feelings. They see themselves as victims, that other people are doing this and that to them, and they whine and complain about it. They manipulate, they give themselves up, they get angry. All of these things occur as a result of being emotionally dependent, refusing to take emotional responsibility. Inner bonding is an incredible process for learning how to take emotional responsibility. It's a step-by-step process. It brings you through the steps, the six steps, each time you do it. And it truly enables you to develop the capacity to connect with your guidance, to have that strength, to have that power and wisdom, so that you can take responsibility for your own feelings. And that just makes a huge, huge difference in your life, in your work, in your relationships. And so I really want to encourage those of you who haven't been learning and practicing inner bonding to go to our website and download our free course and begin to learn the inner bonding process. It's an extremely powerful process for learning how to take emotional responsibility. So let me go through just a couple of other things that we offer, and then I'm going to take questions. I have some people who wrote in questions, and I have there's a lot of people online who might have questions, and I'll work with as many of you as we have time for. So as I said, we have our free course at innerbonding.com. We have a number of of home study courses. One of them is the Intimate Relationship Toolbox, which is a wonderful course for healing a relationship. We have Dr. Margaret's weight loss course, which is what has worked for me for so many years, because I used to be a compulsive eater, and for many, many years now, that's not been a problem. And so I share with you in this course what has worked for me for so many years, which is based on the inner bonding process. We have a wonderful membership site where you get a ton of support There's chats and there's questions and answers that are professionals answer your questions. There's forums. There's so many ways of receiving benefit, and we have a sliding scale there depending on what benefits you want. So I hope you go to innerbonding.com and try our free 7 days on our membership site. We also offer individual and conjoint sessions. I do phone sessions with people. The other facilitators who are very well trained also do phone sessions. I also do 5-day intensives for 12 people, and I have one coming up in June. It might be filled, but there might still be one opening. I'm not sure, and the next one will be in October. And, of course, I do free webinars like this every few weeks. And then finally, I worked for 12 years to create a program called SelfQuest, which is a downloadable software program that teaches inner bonding in a very, very in-depth way. It's an extremely powerful program, and you can find this program at selfquest.com. It's a fairly expensive program. It costs $997. It's a very big program for those of you who want a 40% discount. Those of you that are on today, if you email me at margaret@innerbonding.com, you get a 40% discount. And for those of you who cannot even afford that, if you scroll down to the bottom of the page, we have what we call Option 4, which is our financial assistance program. And in this program, you can let us know what you can afford. We like to make this program available to whoever really is serious about doing the work of healing their anxiety, their depression, their relationships, and no longer abandoning themselves and truly learning how to take personal responsibility for themselves. So you can find all of this at innerbonding.com. For information about any of it, you can call 888-6-INNER-BOND. Okay, so I am ready to take questions. Now, those of you that are on the phone, if you want to do a little bit of work with me, and it's very safe, you're not going to get hurt, you'll get a little bit of a taste of what it's like to do inner bonding. If you want to press *7, that will enable you to unmute yourself, and we can talk, and I can help you with an issue. And if there isn't anybody who's ready to do some work with me, then I can take some questions that people have written in. So if you want to do a little work with me, please press *7 to unmute yourself, and we can do some work. Usually it takes people a little bit of time before you feel comfortable in doing some work on the phone. So I'm going to start with some questions here. The first question is that I'm still experiencing a whirlwind of emotions stemming from my husband's 6-month adultery ending almost 3 months ago at the cusp of our 24th wedding anniversary. There are so many layers which complicate the healing process. How can I make the distinction between the wounded self and core self content? So, you know, when somebody does this in a relationship, of course there's going to be these very painful feelings of feeling betrayed, the grief of it, the heartbreak of it, and these are the feelings that you need to welcome with deep kindness and deep compassion for yourself every time they come up, and they may come up over and over again because this is a hard thing to go through. And so every time those particular feelings, the heartbreak, the grief, the sorrow, the helplessness over him, these feelings come up, you want to be very gentle with yourself and embrace these feelings with deep kindness and compassion, which is what allows them to move through your being. When we don't embrace our feelings with caring and compassion, they get stuck in our body. And these stuck feelings can create a lot of physical symptoms and illness. And so by embracing them with deep kindness towards yourself, you allow them to move through you every time you feel them. Now, if you're feeling anger, resentment, if you're feeling any shame about it, if you're feeling depression about it, anxiety about it, that means that there are things you're telling yourself about the situation that are not true. Those are the wounded feelings. And so those feelings you want to address with a deep intention to learn, again, very compassionate towards yourself, but saying, you know, what am I telling myself that's causing me to feel anxious or depressed or guilty or shamed or hurt on the level of feeling rejected, because that's the kind of wounded hurt. The core hurt is different. The core hurt is a heartbreak that comes. It's not about taking it personally. It's just about the experience of somebody not loving you in that way. And that's a completely different kind of hurt. We distinguish between the wounded hurt and the heart hurt, which is coming from the external situation. So, Claudette, I hope that that's helpful to you. Is there anybody else?
Hello?
Yes, hi. What's your name?
Beverly. I've spoken to you before.
Hello, Beverly. How can I help you today?
Well, I'm going through two things. One that happened actually yesterday, and I said the next time I spoke to you, I would actually speak about it. And I was on the bus, and I have a business, and I was telling a woman about my business. And then a man got on the bus, and he had like this really, like a Grizzly Adam beard. And what happened was I felt myself for the first time. It's happened all the time, but I saw it, and the woman I was talking to saw it because she looked back to see who I was looking at. But I winced in pain when I saw him. And I continued talking, but this was the first time that I was actually conscious of the fact that I was doing that. The second thing that happens to me is that either because I'm the wincing in pain was, I know, because I had a father who was very physically abusive, if you will, when I was speaking my truth.
Oh, and so did this man remind you of that?
Any man that I see that I guess looks intimidating to me, or that type of, like if it's someone with a beard or someone, I guess a men who look aggressive, if you will.
And the feeling you had when you saw him was what?
He's going to hit me. He's going to snatch me. He's going to just snatch me out of midair
me. So the feeling was one of fear.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's just take a few minutes to work with that, Beverly. Obviously, this is a feeling that's in the little girl in you because of the abuse that you experience as a child. Now, if you had an actual child with you who was feeling scared, what would you do to take care of that actual child? What would you do to make that actual child feel safe?
In my mind, I would think that that's ridiculous, but I don't know if I would tell the child that.
No, but let's say somebody actually was threatening to an actual child.
I would pick the child up and comfort the child.
Uh huh. And what would you do about some man, let's say, who was trying to hurt her? What would you do to take care of the situation?
I would confront. I would maybe block the child, or I would stand up to the person.
Okay. Now, the problem is that your little girl doesn't know that you're going to do that for her. You see, she doesn't know that you're going to be a loving adult and that you're grown up now. You're not a little girl, and you're not somebody who can just be snatched and hurt. And your inner child, your little girl inside, needs to know that you're a trustworthy adult, needs to know that you're going to be there, that you're, you know, going to do whatever you have to do to not allow her to be hurt, that she's not a little girl all alone. And the reason the anxiety is coming up is because she doesn't know that, you see. So the work that you need to do is to figure out what it means to take care of yourself as an adult. Now that you're an adult, you couldn't do it as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
But as an adult, you can. And I assure you that when you really figure out and you're devoted, when you figure out what to do to take care of your little girl, and you're devoted to taking care of her, that fear will heal. It will go away. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much, Beverly. It looks like there's a couple of other people online. Are there other people who would like to do some work right now?
Well, I have a question.
Yes, go ahead. What's your name?
Hi, it's Yvonne from Montreal. Good evening, Margaret.
Hi, Yvonne.
I have a question with regards to making another person a dependable source of love. I know that guidance is the dependable source of unconditional love that is so awesome.
Right.
Now, I'm being with another person in a relationship, and that person, how can I, has the power to, how can I say, I want to be responsible for how I feel, but you know, if I allow myself to be vulnerable in a relationship and get emotionally close and intimate with somebody,
right,
but they're not dependable on how I feel, but I may be hurt or sad or angry.
I'm not real clear what you're asking, but let me
I'm
see.
Asking if it's an illusion to think that the only dependable source is always the higher guidance. Can I not depend, but share with another person?
Oh, yes. The sharing of love is a wonderful thing to do, and that's what intimacy is. But when your well-being is dependent on that person being your dependable source of love, that's when we get into trouble, because sometimes that person isn't going to be there, and sometimes that person's going to be in a bad mood, and they may get angry, or they may die, or whatever. I mean, so if you make them your dependable source of love, then you're hanging yourself out to dry. And so making your higher guidance your dependable source of love fills you with love, and then you have love to share with this person who you love, and that's about the most wonderful experience in life there is the sharing of love, which happens when both people are filled with love. And the only
it
way
is.
We get filled with love is when we're open to bringing in love from our spiritual source.
Yes, but both people cannot do this all the time, or else we'd be angels on the planet.
That's right. Both people cannot do this all the time. And so we're going to hurt each other, and we're going to reject each other, and that's part of life, and it's part of being in a relationship. And that's why one of the things that's so valuable is learning inner bonding, so that when you're not feeling good, you can do the inner bonding process and get back into a connected place. And when your partner is, you know, being angry or mean or distant, you can manage that.
But it's hard work being in a relationship. It is.
Pardon me?
It's hard work being in a relationship.
It is. Relationships, I always say relationships are the PhD of personal and spiritual growth. They are very, very challenging. They tap into every single unhealed place within us.
Very well said. That's exactly it.
Yes, that is right. And in order to really get the benefit of relationship, you have to let go of the idea that it should be easy. It is not going to be easy. Anybody will tell you who has a very good relationship how many hard times they've had, how they've had to struggle, what they've had to learn, what they've had to overcome in order to have a really good relationship. There is no such thing as a truly intimate, connected relationship between two people who have not gone through a lot.
So there's a major learning curve within the two people.
Excuse me, somebody needs to mute themselves.
In order to have a really good relationship.
Okay, I'm getting some feedback here, which means somebody needs to mute themselves.
Relationship between two people who have not.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. So, Yvonne, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here. So it's a major learning curve.
It is a major learning curve. And you know what? It goes on the whole relationship, but it's also such a great gift. Because when you utilize a relationship to heal every unhealed part of you, That's where the learning and growth is.
That's the gift.
Yeah, that is. It's such a gift in relationships when two people are committed to their own healing and their own learning and their own growth, and when being a truly loving human being is their highest priority, then they will get there. They will deal with whatever it is they have to deal with in order to get there, and it's not going to be easy.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you.
You're welcome, Yvonne. Thank you.
Dr. Paul, can I ask a question?
Sure. Go ahead. What's your name?
Kathy.
What is it?
Kathy.
Oh, hi, Kathy.
Hi there. I want to thank you so much for what you do for us.
Oh,
thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
My question's about anxiety.
Okay.
And I heard what you said about it being a false belief and that we're telling ourselves something
right.
that's upsetting us. But sometimes I wake up with it in the
right.
morning at 5:30, 6 a.m.,
uh-huh.
and I don't know that I'm thinking anything at that time.
Okay, so let me address that. First of all, there are a couple of physical things that can create anxiety. One is dehydration. If you haven't had enough water, then what happens is that we go into dehydration and adrenaline kicks in, and adrenaline causes a feeling of anxiety. And
interesting.
And it's the same thing with low blood sugar. And sometimes people at 3, 4, 5 in the morning get low blood sugar, and you need to have like a snack, a good healthy snack before you go to sleep so that you don't wake up with low blood sugar. Because what happens if you do is the same thing. The adrenaline kicks in order to bring glucose into the brain, and that creates a feeling of anxiety. And it's not attached to anything. It's because of the adrenaline kicking into the system. So,
and I have a blood sugar issue.
Yeah, so you want to make sure. See, I do too. So before I go to sleep at night, just before I go to sleep, I have a protein snack. And that carries me through the night. And I make sure that I get plenty of water during the day.
What kind of protein snack do you have?
Well, I the only kind of bread that I eat is called Ezekiel. It's a sprouted
mm-hmm.
bread.
Mm-hmm.
And I take a half a slice of that, and I take a slice of I'm organic, but I'm not a vegetarian, and I put organic turkey on the bread.
Okay.
And that's
okay.
it. And it's just a tiny snack, not a lot, but it holds me so that I don't get the low blood sugar.
I'm going to try that. Thank you.
But the other reason that we can wake up with anxiety is that if during the day before there were stressful situations that you did not address, in other words, people often ignore their anxiety, or they try to override it, or they'll take a pill to make it go away, or they'll turn to some addiction rather than actually dealing with the anxiety.
Yes.
Then it can show up at 5:30 in the morning, and you don't know what it's attached to, but it's attached to it not having been dealt with the day before.
Yeah.
Sometimes, so even though there may not be a specific thought going on at 5:30 in the morning, there were specific thoughts going on the day before.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and that have a residual effect.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
How do I unmute myself? Do I just hit star and
press star 6, mute,
star
and
six.
Star 7 unmutes.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Paul.
You're very welcome. Is there anybody else
Hi.
On the line?
Hi. Can I ask a question?
Sure. What's your name? Yes.
I'm sorry. Who's going?
Yes.
I'm
go
Dorothy.
Ahead. What's your name?
Dorothy.
Oh, hi, Dorothy.
How's it going? You just said a few minutes ago, and I think I like the quote, that relationships are the PhD of life or something like that.
Yeah, PhD of personal and spiritual growth.
Yes. So I tried something, you know, like my issue is, like, I find myself extremely needy and desperate and controlling in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So I had tried to, like, take time off and try to work on myself and all of that. But recently I found myself back in that same pattern where I'm, like, begging and pleading and, like, throwing myself at men to try to have them love me and that kind of thing. So I just didn't, you know, I don't really know what I'm asking, but I'm really wondering if, like,
Dorothy, that comes from a very deep level of self-abandonment, where there's a little girl in you desperate for somebody to love you and pay attention to you and make you feel okay. And this pattern isn't going to just go away, but I want to suggest to you that you really, you know, learn the inner bonding process. Go and download our free course. Get on our website, read the many free articles, perhaps join the membership site, and really learn inner bonding, because it's like you've got, it's like you are a little girl who's desperate for love, and you're begging other people to give this to you because you've never developed what we call in inner bonding, the loving adult. And the loving adult is who we are when we're connected to our higher guidance and we're able to bring love into ourselves and take loving action in our own behalf. And so you need to learn to develop your loving adult. And inner bonding is like the workout. It's like if you want to build muscles, you work out. Well, if you want to build a loving adult, you practice inner bonding.
Right,
and,
okay.
And this is what you're going to need to do, Dorothy.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to take a question from somebody who wrote in. This is EK. It says, I'm often stuck by the choice we have in intimate relationships to speak our feelings or keep them to ourselves. Often, even when it's hard or unskillful, the sharing leads to intimacy, but often, depending on the other person's response, reaction, it leads to distance. In looking for a new healthy relationship with openness and sharing, what do you suggest we look for? Well, this question has a number of elements. First of all, when we speak our feelings, we need to be very, very clear on what the intention is, because that's what determines what happens in the interaction. We can either be speaking our feelings in order to make somebody else responsible, make somebody feel guilty, make somebody feel wrong, and change, in which case speaking our feelings is coming from an intention to control. Or we can speak our feelings just to give information, like, you know what, I'm feeling hurt by this, so I'm going to go and take a walk. In this case, we're taking responsibility, and we're speaking our feelings just to give information. Or we can speak our feelings because we want some help with them. And we're saying, you know, I'm feeling really bad, and I need some help with this. Or we can speak our feelings from a true intention to learn, which is what creates the intimacy, where we say, you know, I'm feeling hurt, I'm feeling bad, I really would like to understand, you know, what's been going on for you, how are you feeling, how am I a part of this, well, you know, what's happening between us. That's the kind of speaking feelings that leads to intimacy. So in terms of what do you look for, is you look for somebody who is on that path of learning and growing, somebody who's open to learning about taking responsibility for themselves. That is the most vital thing to look for in a relationship. People can have all sorts of other wonderful qualities, but if they're not open to learning, that relationship is not going to be able to develop and learn and grow and deepen. Okay, is there somebody else online who would like to ask me one more question?
Yeah, my name is Ed. I'm from
Hello, Arizona, Ed.
Dr. Paul, and thank you very much for your time here. And I have a question here. It's like my wife is gone away. She's been gone. She's in Missouri right now, and she's got other problems. It started out with. We got married and I knew of her problems and everything. And, she had problems with alcohol, and then found out that she has bulimia too. And when these bouts of alcoholism came about and everything, it's like, and she was always being treated for the alcoholism. And I asked some friends of mine in California, is there such a thing as a core disease, and as bulimia and alcohol, if you treat the right disease, the core disease, that maybe the other would go away. But my question is that she's been gone for 10 months, and I've supported her throughout the whole thing, and I know she's gone through very, very tough stuff, and her therapist there had brought something up for both of us to think about. It's like to write down what our preferred creation would be for ideal relationship in life and for marriage.
So, Ed, I'm not, you know, we're running out of time, and I need to know what your question is.
Yeah, well, I'm just the emotional responsibility that you're talking about.
Okay, Ed, let me say
sure.
A couple things here. Obviously, I don't know you or your situation, but let me just
right.
say a couple things from what I'm picking up from what you say. First of all, you have zero control over whether your wife ever decides to take responsibility for her feelings. Being bulimic, being an alcoholic, these are addictive ways of avoiding any responsibility for her feelings. You sound like a very caring person. You've been supporting her. But I have a feeling that you are what we call a caretaker, where you're trying to help her, but you're probably abandoning yourself in the process, hoping that you can help her get better, and then you can have a loving relationship with her. And I really want to encourage you to get your eyes off of her, because there's nothing you can do about her. You can't heal her. You can't make her better. Only she can do that. And it may be that you're even enabling her, which is what caretakers do. And I want to encourage you to go inside and start to take care of your own feelings instead of having your focus on her. And again, I want to recommend that you take our free course and start to learn how to tune into you and take care of you. Because whether, I mean, you're asking about her having a core disease or what's going to help her through this, really, truly, Ed, there's nothing you can do until she decides that she wants to heal, until she decides that she wants to take emotional responsibility. But there's a lot you can do about you. You can learn to take emotional responsibility for yourself, which means get your eyes off her and put them on you. Okay.
I'm sorry that I didn't put the exact question out right, but I have been taking care of myself. I've lost tons of weight. I'm spiritually fit, there was just the thing that hurt me the most is that after she got there, she was working on all of this and whatever, and then she said that I asked her, you know, when do you think you want to come home? She said she didn't want to come home.
Okay, but then it's your job to take care of your sadness and your grief at the fact that she doesn't want to. And it sounds like you're gonna need to move on with your life.
Yeah, well, I'm working. I'm working hard on the spiritual and the physical.
Okay, Ed. Well, we've run out of time here again. I want to encourage you to learn and practice inner bonding. I think it will be a big help to you. I want to thank all of you for joining me this evening. I'm going to unmute everybody so I can say good night to all of you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Dr.
Paul.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And blessings to all of you.
And to you, too.
And to you, too.
And to you.
Thank you.
Dr. Morgan.